Hey guys, welcome back to the show from the Arsenal, back again with our bi-weekly show. This week I have two of our regulars and one of our new guys I am proud to introduce and have been waiting to get on the show. Tonight we have Mike. How you doing, brother?
I am doing phenomenal.
We have Addison. What's up, man?
Doing great.
Excellent, excellent. And our new one who comes to us, I'm going to let him do his own introduction and tell you who he is. Some of you guys, if you played Destiny, you'll know who this guy is. I've got Minion Kroll with us tonight, man. Hey, how's it going, man?
I'm doing fantastic. So as a brief introduction, if people know me, it's going to be from Star Wars Destiny. I played mill and combo decks and made a few decks that got banned.
he's one of those guys.
I am one of those guys. And that's the extent of my fame. So,
So just to make sure that people understand, like, his name in our other Discord is Get Stuff Banned. Like, it's not even Minion. That's his name. Like, we just expect this to happen. So, Minion, we're super excited to have you with us tonight, man. We're super excited to have you along on the team.
I will say you sound super sexy tonight.
He does sound kind of hot.
I appreciate that.
So tonight we got a couple topics we're going to cover. I put out some posts in the Facebook groups about a week or so ago talking about a sealed box tournament we were running here at a shameless plug, Total Access Games. We ran a sealed box tournament. We had 16 folks show up. I felt the event went really well. The basic concept was everybody who entered bought a box of Welcome to Wraith, opened said box of Welcome to Wraith, and then built effectively a blitz deck. I kind of adjusted the rules for it to give a little bit more flexibility and to make it a little bit more new player friendly as well. So the basic rules with it were 30 card deck minimum, 52 cards total. The 52 cards included your equipment, but could also include cards you could add to your deck as a quote unquote sideboard. We used Young Heroes, and I did extend the time limit on the rounds by 5 minutes. So we had 35 minute rounds, which from me running the event felt super smooth. I think we only had
two draws. Yeah, two draws, and that was the new players learning some cards and doing a lot of card reading.
Yep, and that was the first two rounds. We didn't have any draws after the second round. So that felt really good, and it felt like it gave new players a chance to learn the game and play through a full game without being penalized for having to read a little bit. I think everybody here, except for myself, because I ran the event, played. I'd like to get you guys' feedback and go over what happened in the event. I'm going to start with Addison. Addison, what did you think, man?
I thought it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed myself. I did enjoy myself. I enjoy every event that I go to a tag. But I mean, as far as the sealed event goes, I thought it was a little bit loose as far as cards were concerned. Like, I thought that opening all those packs, you had a chance to either get like really good stuff in certain specific classes, or you could have been spread a little thin like I was, where you kind of got some good stuff in some good classes. Like, I had two pools that I could have chose from. Both were mediocre. I choose to go Brute because I had the most experience with it. I probably could have built a Warrior deck, although I don't know that it would have been any better. So I thought that because it was so many packs opened, and as opposed to the traditional six that you get for a normal sealed, I felt like there were some decks that were going to be really, really good, because you kind of – we've seen those boxes where, like, it's just obviously geared towards one specific thing. And you're opening the Legendary, right, and you've got the Supers. And then there's some boxes that you open that it's just kind of, you know, spread out and kind of sprinkled around. So I definitely felt that as far as, you know, how my box was, and a couple of the guys that were around me as well. But, I mean, that was just – other than that, like, I still enjoyed myself. Like, I had a good time. Like, the games were still dynamic. They were still close. Except for Mike, he destroyed me. But other than that, I mean, it was, you know, pretty good.
I wasn't going to say anything, boss.
Other than that, it was close. But I mean, I thought that there was a little bit of that, like, if you opened really, really well, like you were definitely having like a good time. And if you kind of got a box where you were more of like, you got a super here in this class and you got a super in this class, and then maybe your Majestics were split. Like I got two Ninja Majestics. Both of them were Lord of Wind, and I got no McGinty, so I couldn't even use them. So it was
yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's so rough. That is rough.
So yeah, out of all the boxes I saw open, Addison's was by far the trickiest to build out of. Because I think you had the same mindset that I had going into it, because I was going to play as an alternate if we had an odd number. But I had the same kind of mindset that you had going into it. Like, I wanted to look at Brute first and then go from there depending on what else I opened, right?
Yeah, that was pretty much my thought. Because I think that in sealed, aggro Brute is really good. Like, it's
I do too. Experience.
I mean,
yeah, I agree.
There's not much to answer against aggro Brute and sealed.
Yeah, and I did open enough Brute that I felt like that was the deck I should be running. And I don't think I made the wrong decision. You know, the other game I lost was Dominion, and that was actually my favorite game of the whole day. Like, we had a great game, and it was just exactly what Flesh and Blood is supposed to be all about, which is like, and it was on stream. Anybody can watch it if they want to, like,
right.
Back and forth. It came down to the end, and, you know, Brute has to do that thing where, you know, at some point in the game, Brute's got to roll the dice, whether it's with this card or whether it's with literally rolling dice. And it came down to me having to roll the dice, and I couldn't get there. And I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay with that in Brute. Like, I'm perfectly fine with it.
If I remember correctly, it also came down to me pull. I had two life left, and I pulled a healing card out of my rear to go up to three, while you had the brute reaction that kills you right. for two health.
So I'll tell you exactly.
Oh my god!
I remember like it was yesterday. So I had a reckless. I had a reckless swing in my arsenal, ready to rock and roll, and I knew I was going to get him down to at least two life based on how the box was going, but. Oh, no, so that's not what happened. I drew the Reckless Swing after he was at two life, but he had already put down a Blessing of Deliverance blue. And in order for me to get the thing, I would have had to obviously have the Reckless Swing that turn and use it, but I couldn't that turn. And so what I ended up drawing was like two pummels and a drone or something like that.
Plus, oh, no.
But the drone was a yellow or thing. So it just, there was no sixes. And I even put the cards down in stream. I'm like, you know, I'm not dead here because I can block with my Reckless Swing, but I'm going to get no damage off of it. You're going to go to three, and I'm probably going to lose, which I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you feel – all right, so, like, there's an interesting comparison in between Constructed and Blitz where you feel – like, and this is kind of my experience too. Like, I feel like – like Blitz just feels like such a much more elevated version of the game, where it feels like a lot of times defense reactions feel bad. From the games that I watched, I really felt like this kind of version of the game felt more like a constructed variant, where like it felt okay to play defense reacts. It felt okay to turtle for a turn in a lot of cases. Like it seemed like a more complete version of the game. I mean, that's not probably the right terminology to use for it, but it did seem more complete to me in watching the games. What did you think?
I could agree with that. Like, I didn't feel like it was as loose as Blitz can feel as far as like aggro and life is concerned.
Right.
Because of the fact that you didn't have as many potent threats coming at you every time.
Right.
Like, I do believe I told Minion this when we started. I was like, my strategy is going to be to try to run my opponent out of threats and then beat them after that. Like, I'm right. just going to try to block, and block until I can run my opponent out of threats, because there's a limited amount of threats in these decks based on what you opened.
Exactly.
And then I'm going to try to win the long game, which, you know, the long game in quotation marks being, you know, around the 20-minute mark or so.
Right.
And then I was going to try to get there from that. And I think that was a perfectly fine strategy. And I think that I don't think that's a good strategy against Warrior, though, which, I mean, spoiler alert, that's what won the whole event.
Right.
I don't think that that's a great thing against Warrior, especially if they have Iron Song Determination, because those turns are probably going to be insurmountable just based on the way that it's going to play out. But
right.
Maybe not. But, yeah, I do think that playing immovables is fine. I think playing any yellow or red sync blows you got was fine. I played those cards in my deck because I wanted to try to – you know, get to the point where it was like, you're getting down to your blues. I'm going to start getting to my point where I can start either swinging with my club or maybe hit one or two six attacks and win the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did think that defense reactions were a little bit more, you know, prevalent or more useful in this format than they were in, say, regular blitz.
Yeah. Minion, how what did you think of it, and how did your day go, boss?
So, as far as opening the box, I had, I think, the exact opposite experience that Addison had. I think my first pack was a Tectonic Plating, and then somewhere on pack two or three, I opened up a Crippling Crush, and then I picked up a couple of Showtimes later. So my box absolutely directed me into Guardian.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
Dude!
Yeah, that was his box was gas.
Yeah, so the one balancing aspect of that was that I have literally never played a Guardian game before that day. So, I don't know. It's like giving a toddler a gun, you know?
What's he going to do with it?
Exactly. And I didn't know what to do with it for my first two games at all. And so I lost my first game and drew the second game. And then I started coming into things and I won my last two games. But it was a lot of fun. I'd stayed away from the Guardian because I didn't like what I perceived as the playstyle of the Guardian before playing it. But after playing it, it was a blast. So I had a great time.
So I'll piggyback off of that. After watching you play Guardian for the first time, I immediately was like, you know what? Guardian looks kind of fun.
Yeah, Todd's already playing Guardian in Blitz now. It's like, where'd that come from?
Yeah, so I've gone back and put together an entire Blitz deck with Guardian because it actually looked... The way that you played it was interesting to me because it was a little different than some of the ways that I've seen it played in the past. And I was like, you know what? I want to toy with this. I want to see what it can do. So yeah, it definitely sparked an interest in me to actually try something different. So yeah, like that's what I took away from the games that I saw with yours. So thanks for making me waste money, Minion.
Yeah, I will just say the caveat. If you watched me play, you probably just learned wrong. Because I still don't think I knew what I was doing, even at the end, too much. Like, I can, once the cards are in my hand, I can put together, like, hey, maybe I should dominate this Crippling Crush if I've got three blue pitches, you know?
Yeah, right, right, right.
But it was interesting the way you set up turns. The way you have to hold back so many cards to pitch every round if you want to do something. It was definitely a different play experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the interesting thing with this game. Like, you can figure out one list, and as soon as you get that one figured out and you start looking into something else, you realize how deep this game actually is in the individual class structures and their individual mechanics. It's insane.
Absolutely.
So to piggyback off of that, we also have Michael Campbell, who had played in that tournament. Mike actually opened a really hot box as well. He opened a legendary, but actually chose to play without it. Mike, how'd that event go for you, and what'd you play?
So I, my five packs in, I got an E-Strike. Obviously a great card to pull in an event like this. And then halfway through the box, I pulled the Scab Skins for Brute. And, but my biggest thing is I looked at my generics and what I pulled there. I saw that I pulled a great set of reds and yellows for Flock to Featherwalkers.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled the what else? What was the other card that I was?
Oh, that's very descriptive, Mike.
Razor Reflexes.
Oh yeah,
I pulled the Razor Reflexes that I needed, and then all that was basically just egging me on to play Warrior. I pulled three Warrior cards that are really nice. Glint, which I never played. The entire tournament. I got to pitch it one time, but I never saw it in the other games. The yellow Addison I got off against you that gives you the warrior weapon dominate plus one for the turn. The
Iron Song.
I pulled the Iron Song and then another warrior super, but the generic route. Yeah, I pulled a route. But the generics that I pulled
really spoke out to me to be able to push Warrior wide. I pulled a complete playset of overpowers, and I didn't even run them because I was able to go really, really wide with the deck, which allowed me to, in every single one of my games, get counters on Dawnblade, which when in a limited format, Dawnblade with a counter on it just feels ridiculously good. So, and then with the flip flat, with the Featherwalkers being able to get my Dawnblades go again from the previous turn, just really made it so that I didn't have much to give that the Dawnblade go again, but those allowed me to do that. And I learned that lesson from watching other players like John or Brian, who's also on our stream, running the flick flax. Like, you know, when I saw
the flox.
Sorry. Just made me realize how beneficial those cards are, and to helping Warrior go wide instead of tall. And when you go wide, all of a sudden, all those unmovables and Saint Blows that people are running don't become so devastating anymore.
Yeah, they don't feel as powerful when it's not just the weapon attack that you have to use them on.
Exactly. And then when I can do a flock that swings for five, to give them, and then you have to block out, and then I still get the go again for my next action. So when the next turn comes around and I swing with a Singing Steel Blade, when I swing with a Dawn Blade and bump it with a Razor Reflex because I'm able to, because I pulled the playset for them, then it just made the deck run really well. So even though I pulled the Legendary, I didn't even run it because it just spoke to me that Warrior was going to be able, with my generics that I pulled, was going to be able to go a step above what I needed it to do.
Yeah, your generic pool was actually really good. And you played them really well. And the Phlox actually are really good in a limited format, especially in Warrior, to let you go wider and not have to worry about the trigger so much to make sure you have the go again on the weapon. Because, hey, oh, by the way, I got a quicken token.
I want to give, like I said, this deck, I give all the credit to John, who is in our – he comes up here every Friday and Sunday. He plays a lot. And then Brian, who's on our podcast. You all have heard him before. I want to give credit to those two because they run the wide Warrior in our meta, and I saw how devastating that could be, which talked me out of running the overpowered. So, I mean, my deck was out of – I ran out of 52 cards with my equipment. I pretty much ran every single card I had, and I had seven blues in the entire deck. Like the seven blues, period.
Wow.
Like, it was all extremely low pitch. I had several turns where I pulled nothing but reds and playing through it and stuff like that. But it did pay off in the end. My toughest match was the final round. It's on stream where I was playing against a guy we call Bishop, Zach Bishop. He's a younger player, great player. I believe he was on Brute as well, and that was one of my toughest games all game. It was on stream. If you want to watch it, was awesome. I had to play through some very strange hands. Where I had one hand where I had three flocks.
Oh wow!
I pulled three flocks in one hand. And I was just like, oh my goodness, how do I work this? You know.
Well, you had three flocks in two turns because you played one on one turn. And then you drew two in the next.
Drew two, and with a Razor Reflex in my arsenal,
yeah,
I had to play through that. And so there was a few times where the Dawnblade didn't even go. Yeah. The Dawnblade didn't even swing out. But it was one of those things that I had to play through some rounds because I was running such a low pitch. But at the same time, it was very, very beneficial because I was able to just every turn it looked like my hand was nothing but straight gas to be able to just pedal to the metal, go. And with Warrior, when you're pulling a box and you're running stuff like Steel Blade Shunts, when you pull nothing but straight gas, and then you bounce back on their turn when they try to come back with a Steel Blade Shunt. And welcome to Wraith, where everyone's swinging with their weapons because all the weapons are awesome, and everyone's constantly swinging with them.
Yeah.
That the Steel Blade Shunt starts, you know.
They add up.
And I wouldn't even – I ran four in the deck, and I would pitch them early on because I didn't want to see them until late game.
Yeah.
Because when they get down to 2-3 life, and now they're trying to swing with their weapon – and then I draw the Steel Blade. I don't want to use a Steel Blade Shunt when they're sitting on 20 life. That's useless.
Yeah. Yeah.
But pitching those early on to pay for my attacks and then see them later in the game so that when they're trying to get the initiative back and keep pushing pressure on me, but they have one or two life and I Steel Blade shot them. I mean, that beat two ninja players.
Yeah.
Going into that, they were both undefeated, and it got me to the top table, and I won through a Steel Blade shunt in both ninja matches.
Yeah.
So, it was a fun tournament. I'm glad that I was able to pull a legendary, and not have to and not use it, because I didn't want someone to say, "Oh, you won because you pulled a legendary." But I did pull a phenomenal generic pull. My generic cards were amazing. The East Strike, I saw every game. Had an impact every game.
Yeah.
And that helped out tremendously. So, but it was tremendously fun. It was almost like you took Constructed, Blitz, and slammed them together, and it was just
they had a baby.
They had a baby, and it was gorgeous.
Well, so to that point, let me ask you guys a question. Because you guys know I'm a glutton for punishment, and I always like to know what I'm doing wrong, and I always try and like to know what I'm doing, what we can do to make things better. All three of you guys played. I got to watch. So is there anything that you saw in the format or anything that you think that we could do better or that could tighten it up next time around? Let's start. Minion, let's start with you.
Yeah, so as one of the players who drew in the second round, as long as we're modifying rule sets, I still find the draw rules to be incredibly punishing in this game. In particular, if you're opening a box with new players and they've just built the deck and then they're reading the cards at the table, I think maybe like 5 more minutes in the rounds. I know that starts to push the round length up a little bit, but...
Well, so I added 5 minutes to the round because typical blitz time is 30 minutes and I extended the rounds to 35 minutes.
Right, but we also had a sideboard in this turn, like a pseudo sideboard in this tournament. So when you sit down in a normal like blitz tournament, you're not really sideboarding anything. But in this one, we were doing a little bit of a sideboard, and that takes a little bit of time. I think it was probably more of a new player issue than a format issue. But if you know there's going to be a lot of new players, I think maybe 5 more minutes makes sense.
Okay.
What about going back to the original rule of, all right, time and round, turn 0, turn 1, turn 2, turn 3?
This is a fun format, right? Like, this is not a tournament format. This is meant to be for fun. So, do you think that's needed?
I don't know if we need that in particular, but I will say that I think that the games... then this ties in with an earlier issue is that the games could also have been going slightly long due to the presence of much more defense reactions compared to a normal blitz tournament. And those are going to extend the length of the game a little bit as well.
Yep. I agree. So maybe run it at 40 minutes because of the fact that there is an inclusion, but if you run it at 40 minutes, you definitely can't extend it and do the three rounds.
Yeah, you can't do the three rounds.
So like, you would have to pick
one or the other.
Yeah,
one or the other. Yeah, I'd say pick one or the other.
You pick your poison there. And I think you might base that on your player pool.
If it's a bunch of new players.
If you've got a bunch of new players, maybe you actually just extend the 5 minutes.
If it's
give them 40 minutes.
Yeah, if it's experienced players, maybe keep it at 35. And I mean, this is not something that...
So as it stands, if you have experienced players and you're doing this, like... Say you've got a shop that's got 16 or whatever new or like experienced players who know what they're doing. I think you can run it at 35 minutes a round and feel comfortable that almost everyone is going to get their games completed.
Yeah. But I also think it in particular looking forward to Monarch, which is probably where most people would be applying a rule set like this. Mm-hmm. It might reset the skill back to new players, given the fact that it's a new set of cards coming out.
Even if you think
your players are skilled and they know the game, it kind of does a reset there.
Right, because once you get them in practice, even if you've had the set spoiled and you know everybody has access, seeing them in practice is always different, right? So all right. So going forward, maybe next time we go with a 40-minute timer. Addison, anything from you on this, boss?
Nah, man. That's about it.
Addison's like, you know what, man? Just get a good box.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean that is one piece of the variance in a tournament like this, but I don't think there's any solution to that where sometimes it does feel bad, and we've seen this in other games where you open a box that just doesn't work.
Yep.
I think like the biggest thing with a tournament like this, I mean, it's a box tournament, so you're buying a box. So first off, what's a box of Welcome to Wraith at retail, Todd?
Retail on a box is 95.
Okay, so what did we pay for a box for this tournament?
$90.
So we actually got a box $5 cheaper than retail and got to play in a tournament. So my thing is, if you're going into a tournament like this, go into it that, do I need a box? Sure, I could use another box. Me personally, sure. I never bought a box. This is my first box of Welcome to Wraith that I've ever bought.
Yeah.
Because when I got into the game, Welcome to Wraith, I couldn't get it. It was sold out. So, and all I could book that buy was Arcane. So, going to the tournament with, do I need a box? Of course I need a box. And then I get to play and have some fun.
Yeah.
And if I mean, your prize support for this tournament was beyond phenomenal. I don't have a bigger word. Everyone knows my word is phenomenal. I don't have a bigger word than that. Your prize support for this was absolutely amazing.
We gave some stuff out.
You gave a foiled cold brew. You gave out another box. You gave out how many cold foils of?
So we gave out. So what we gave out in total was a sealed box of Wraith. On the last game, we gave out a cold foil crazy brew. We also, in that last round, gave out a cold foil KO and a cold foil data doll. And then the two subsequent rounds, we also gave out two cold foil weapons.
Was amazing. I mean, so you're paying $5 less than retail to play in a tournament, to have some fun, to play a game with some friends, and still get awesome prize support. And the way you even did it, that your last place person still got a cold foil card. Like, someone came in last place. You're like,
I gave him whatever I forget what class he played, but I gave him his weapon.
You gave him the class he was playing. You gave him that weapon.
Yeah.
Hold on though. You can't go through that list of prize support and forget the fact that the winner got to cradle Hans.
I did get to cradle Hans.
You did get to cradle Hans.
And the picture shows me getting ready to kiss him. But I kissed him.
He did.
It was full on, like full tongue.
There was tongue. There was tongue.
But so like,
Hang on. I do want to clarify that after you gave Hans tongue, I alcoholed him down for COVID rules
and for the next scenario.
Yeah, I got you. I just want to make sure that's clear.
Like, I can't say. I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn. I won the tournament. Woo! But. So I can't say, hey, you need to do this better, Todd, because I obviously don't change
it. No. Like for reals, like.
But go if you're going into a tournament like this, it's strictly, this is fun. Like, yes. I'm having a blast. Those are some of my most, the best games I've ever had, the most fun games I've had was in that tournament like that. I love sealed events. I love drafts. I love box tournaments. They're fun. You build a deck. You got to figure it out and play against someone else that's doing the same thing. That's tremendously fun to me. So go into the tournament with that mindset. And, hey, you know, you might pull some awesome, cool prize support and even win it. Who knows?
Well, and for me, from, like, a shop owner's perspective, you guys know me. I mean, like, the main thing for me, I'm always trying to make sure that we can build our community, build it bigger, build it better, and get more people involved in it and have a good fucking time.
And people that were in that box tournament, guess what? That was last week. They all came back down today.
Yeah.
This week for a draft, just a regular draft. They came down from Maryland. We're in Central Virginia. Yeah. Just for a draft. And so it's great for building a community.
I mean, and that's like, I just want to build a community for all of the local guys and the regional guys and everything else. Like, we did this stuff with Destiny. We did this. We're going to do this stuff here. This is designed to be a fun event, but I love having the competitive guys involved in a fun event to help teach the new players and everybody else coming in. Because that's one of the things I always stress to, like, the guys that I know who've been playing. Hey, man, I need you to help these guys through the first couple rounds. Like, just this is your job. Because, like, this is our future, is to make sure this game survives. We have to do everything we can do locally, and hopefully that expands globally, right?
And just from us doing that, like, I want to say, and
if I throw some shade, and Todd, if you want to edit this out or cancel me then before I go into it, that's fine. But we're playing these games, and we're doing events that are registered events to get points, so that we can get points rated on, you know, how good we are in the United States and where we're rated at and stuff. Excuse me. And we're doing this game, and we're playing these events with people and not giving, like, we're not win sharing.
No.
You know, we're not win sharing. Like, hey, you know, I get this win, you get that win, so that we all get these extra points, and now we're ranked players. We're actually playing these events, playing them out, playing these tournaments. And we got a lot of our players that are that are ranked in the U.S. and able to play in events that you have to be ranked to be able to play in. And it just shows, it goes to show that we're not only are we growing our community, but we're making our community better. So that when these events start popping off, when we can go to start going to Worlds or Novas or all these Opens and stuff, and these big tournaments, like, big, beware when we show up from Central Virginia.
I mean, yeah, there'll be a bunch of drunk guys.
From
Central VA, and a Minion, because Minion doesn't drink.
Minion doesn't
designated drink. Driver.
He is our DD.
He is our DD,
and he is good.
And he is good. Yeah. So.
So no, and that's one of the things that I've always wanted to do with our communities. We did it with Destiny.
Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, well, that, but the other part of that is grow our community from the ground up and make our local players better and continue to expand our group and continue to expand our play experience, right? And that's what we want to do. And we brought in some great people from other games. Addison is a transplant from Magic, right?
Yeah, I am. Yep.
I mean, like, Addison's transplant from Magic. He came in with Destiny. He's followed over to Fab, and like, he is our TTS guru.
That's for sure. I won't even play against Addison on TTS. He pisses me off.
Yeah, well, that brings me to my our next part. Awesome segue. Take that, Chris Kirkpatrick. So, Addison, it's...
We miss you, Chris.
No, we don't. So, Addison... We've got a TTS tournament coming up tomorrow. You want to share anything about that and what it is and what we're doing?
Yeah, we're doing on the main Fab Discord. They started doing what's called the Fab Weekly Gauntlet Classic tournament, not Classic Constructed because it's actually Blitz, but it'll change up weekly. But it starts tomorrow at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 Pacific, if I'm not mistaken. And I think it's just like it's like a weekly 32-person tournament that is it's invite only, and it's done by rankings in the U.S. And they're just gonna invite people each week. You have to sign up, and it's the prize support is a box of Wraith, and then also I think you get a Discord tag on Discord, and I think it's just, you know, I think it's just for a good time and for some seriously competitive some flesh and blood, because these guys that we're playing with on TTS are really good.
So what do you know what rank you have to be able to apply to get the invitation?
No, I don't. They didn't say. I know Todd and I both got in. We're both top 100. I don't know that mattered, but I mean.
So it's probably top 100 or top 125 or something like that.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so you can't be like,
well, you figure if I made it in, they're at least accepting the top 85.
So you're saying you're number 85 in the...
No, I'm 83.
83 in the U.S.
But I figure I wasn't the last person in, so... Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah. So this event's going to be Blitz. Addison, what do you... Let's talk fucking turkey, man. Like, what are you expecting to see? Like, if you know you're playing with some of the most active players, because that's what this is right now, right? Like, this is not, and this is no shade thrown, right? This isn't necessarily the top 32 players, but this is 32 of the most active players, right, in the U.S.
Yeah, I really do think it's games, the games you get in and, like, how much you play is having a lot to do with it.
So we know we're going to have some active players in there, which means we're going to have some people that have some experience with the game. What are you expecting to see?
So I'm expecting to see the same thing that I've been seeing in Blitz, which is a lot of Dorinthia and a lot of Ira. I don't expect it to be any different than that. And then I think there'll be other things sprinkled in, but I do think that those two decks are going to be top dogs, big meta shares. And you need to prepare your deck to play those decks. And there'll be some Kano too. I mean, there could be a lot of Kano for that matter, but Kano on TTS does tend to be a little bit clunky. So I don't know how much of that we'll see, although I'm sure there will be people playing it.
But all right. So this was actually going to be one of my questions, and you touched the tip of the iceberg right there. I've been pretty heavy on Brute, both in Blitz and in Constructed recently. However, in TTS, that feels kind of clunky to me. And I know that Wizard, just by its basic design with all the opt and the mechanics of drawing off the deck, feels like it might be a little clunky on TTS. Do you expect that to have really any relevance on the amount of Wizard that you actually see there?
I don't know. Like, it's funny because, like, if you were going to tell me that this was just an open invitation for anybody to play, I would say yes. But because right. It's invitation only, and this is people that play a lot, it may not have any impact at all. These are players that are well versed in TTS. They play it all day, every day, like me, like you, like all of us.
And, well, let's not include me because I don't play on TTS right. every day.
You're right. But I mean, these guys are playing it a lot, and so. It may not have an impact on them at all. And I think that if they think that it's going to give them an edge meta-wise, they'll probably play it.
Like, I mean, I'm going to say straight up, like, we were here at the shop till 1:30 last night playing Blitz, and I got Kano down. I think I finally figured it out. But you put me on TTS with Kano, and I hit any bit of lag or any bit of anything like that, and I think I tilt myself. So... Yeah, not to say anything against US, and like I'm pretty sure that, like you said, people that are signing up for this tournament are well versed in TTS.
Right.
But like me, I feel like I'm a good player. I'm very confident in any deck I play. But you put me on TTS, I'm gonna be like, yeah, nah, I'm done. So I don't know. Like I'm a big advocate and in person, in place, and face playing and doing that. TTS is a different aspect, and I think that not only do you need reps with the deck, because certain decks like Kano require a tremendous amount of reps, but then you also need reps on TTS with the system, and being able to be just as well. So that even requires more of a commitment to that deck, and so you like certain players. Like I'm in the top 100, 125 in the United States. I'm not gonna give you my number. I don't want to throw any shade at Todd. So,
what is your number? I'm just wondering.
I just looked it up. I'm number 63 in the United States.
Number 63, huh?
Yeah, I was 69. That was a cooler number.
Well, I mean, too bad you don't have a good, solid internet connection.
You're right. You're absolutely right. But
you might have taken my spot.
I'm terrified about signing up for a tournament like this, getting on TTS, and just getting my butthole stretched. Like I don't want to go through that. So I might have to. Yeah, it's a little bit gross, but it's okay. I'm drinking IPAs right now. I might have to go through some more reps on TTS before I can do it, because I want to do some major tournaments like this. But man, I'm so sketched out, especially with my last experience of trying to get on a TTS tournament. That I don't know if I'll be able to do it.
Yeah. Like so to clarify for the people that might not know. Mike was also signed up for the Red Riot tournament as well. And router issues, and so Mike was not able to participate in that tournament. Minion, you played a lot of TTS in other games. What is your thought process? Do you think it has any impact on the idea of whether or not a deck is played based on how it plays on TTS compared to real life?
I think that probably ends up game-specific. And a lot of that's going to go towards how well featured the mod itself is. I know that people were complaining that random discard wasn't implemented as right. a button for the Flesh and Blood mod, which I've seen in other games to where it's actually more efficient to discard a random card on TTS than it is in in-person play. So I would say that's probably up to the faithfulness of the mod. But there is, with all games that you play digitally versus in person, it seems like there is a difference in those games, right? Like you see the game, you see your hand, you see your opponent differently. and in particular in card games, there's a lot you can read from behavioral cues that you lose in the online game.
Exactly. I learned from Brian that I have a tell.
Yeah.
When I'm showing lethal, I shuffle my cards in hand really, really fast. Brian picked up on that. I lost that game. He told me afterwards.
Thanks, Brian.
I will never do it again. But so thank you for telling me that. But
I was very upset with Brian after that because I've known that tell for about a year and a half.
Todd, I thought we were bros, man.
I mean, we are bros, Mike, but like when it comes to like playing a game, I'm gonna get you.
But now I learned. So Brian, thank you, bro. You're apparently a better friend than Todd. And I just met you like right before we start the podcast.
Damn.
But so like what Benjamin said, when you're in person, you can look at the person's facial expressions.
Right.
You see they're fidgeting. You see what they're doing. You don't see that on TTS.
Right. Well, and I don't. So this is my mindset going in. I have to put all of that aside. Right. Addison, you as well. Right. Like we have to hammer out that idea that like we're not going to get those social cues and other things that we get in person.
But
right?
Addison's a freaking nature on TTS. Don't you can't count.
He's a freaking nature.
Like the Terminator when it comes to TTS play. I don't want to talk about it. Addison, so, you hurt my feelings. Like I'm not gonna play against you no more on TTS.
All right. So but like we have to put those aside. Right. Addison, like that's the thing.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, absolutely.
And we have to play the cards we're dealt, and we have to, at that point, factor out trying to make bluff plays and trying to do that kind of stuff. Like, that's still going to be a thing that you do. But, like, you don't get to rely on that where you're like, you know what? I've got this cool little way that I handle myself when shit looks bad, but I know I'm in a good position. Like, we can't count that in anymore, right? With that said, Addison, and with the conversation being certain decks feel a little clunky when you're playing there unless you have a shit ton of reps on them, what's your fallback? What are you going to?
I've been playing Dorinthia lately just because I was having a tough time beating Ira. I really, really want to play Bravo in Blitz because I think that deck is awesome and I think that it has a really good shot to win a tournament. Personally, for me, I haven't been able to figure out the Ira matchup. It's so close, and I can win games, but I cannot win enough to feel comfortable taking into a tournament like this. Dorinthia is a far easier deck to play, and one that doesn't. It rewards. It's one of those decks that rewards the pilot for just playing it, and it punishes your opponent for not being able to block correctly, which is a really nice spot to be in when you're trying to play either for money or for prizes, because it takes a lot of pressure off you as a player, because you kind of get to the decisions you have to make become a little bit less, I'm not going to say impactful, but they become a little bit less hard to make. And it's harder for your opponent to make decisions. You want your opponent to have to make harder decisions than you do as a whole when you're trying to play these games. And Dorinthia does that really well. Because she makes it so that you're, because I mean, you guys know blocking against Dorinthia is a pain in the ass, especially in a format where you have 20 life. And so that's one of probably the main reason I'm going to play her, just because I want my opponent to have to make the hard decisions and I don't want to have to make any hard decisions.
Yeah, I will agree with that wholeheartedly. Like, Dorinthia is one of those decks that you can, you almost, if you're good at poker, you can bring that into the aspect of the game. Like, You can pitch, swing out, especially late game, pitching, swinging out with the Dawnblade for three, and then they got to look at their hand. They have no defense reactions. What am I gonna do? Am I gonna overblock here because I have no defense reactions? And I know you're running attack reactions, especially since you're floating two energy and you have a card in hand and a card in arsenal. You know that's terrifying to look against across the table. And so now you start getting people overblocking, and if they overblock, so be it. You know, you still got, you know, as a Dorinthia player, you still got those cards in your arsenal. You still got that card in hand, and you don't play it, and you just go to the next round. They overblock. They can't do nothing back to you going right into the
Tempo,
next round.
Right. Tempo is still yours. Which
Tempo is still yours, exactly. And if they don't overblock, and let's say they misread it, they're like, well, I don't think you have it. I'm not overblocking here. I'm just going to do this. And then, boom, you go out and you win the game. It, like you said, it makes your opponent start making tougher decisions than you have to. And that's always, especially in a tournament, in a base where you're playing several games, it's just an ease off your mind kind of thing.
Yeah. The other argument to that is, though, when you play against a lot of good players in a row that know how to play against Thorinthia, they can actually thank you pretty hard.
Yeah, I do agree with that. But it takes the mindset of being – if you're going to go into a tournament like this, and I don't want to tell anyone to go out there and start playing Thorinthia, like, because I like playing Thorinthia in sealed events. I'm not going to build her in any type of blitz or constructed format.
That's because you're a sadist, Mike, you like to take a whooping.
No, because I already built Dash. I'm not going to be one of those players that plays Dash and construct it, and then I play Kano and blitz, and then I also play Thorinthia. I'm not going to be one of those players. I'm not going to say everyone go out there and build Thorinthia, but it is one of those decks that if you're a good pilot and you can play that deck, you can put your opponent into a position where they're second guessing everything, they're over blocking when they don't have to, they're shutting their own turns down, and you might be sitting on a pile of crap,
yeah,
and they don't even know it. Now in Blitz, it's hard to sit on a pile of crap because your deck is tuned, but we've all had those hands where I drew shit here. And your opponent overblocked and they didn't have to. I mean,
it is harder to get go again though in Blitz because of the nature of the way you
have
to
play
the deck.
It is
kinda,
that's true.
Because you're kind of doing the tall thing, right? So like having those go again cards kind of waters your deck down because you really want to go over the what you really want to do is punish your opponent for not blocking the naked Dawn Blades.
Right.
Because when you're in Classic Constructive, you swing for 3 and they pump it to 7, you're like, whatever, who cares? But in Blitz, when they do it and you pump it to 7 or 10, you're like, oh my God, I just took half my life in one turn because I decided not to block here.
That's another whole podcast right there. Do we go tall Thorinthia or wide Thorinthia? Like, we could do a whole other podcast on that. So. Yeah.
And another reason why I'm going to run Thorinthia is because I do think that, I truly, wholeheartedly think that the card Twinning Blade is absolutely busted. And I think it'll just get better as we get more cards.
And what's so good about TTS is, guess what? I didn't buy any Crucible, but it doesn't matter because I can just say that I have it on TTS. That's good.
Right.
So like Twinning Blade is it is a nasty card.
Well, and to piggyback back into something we were talking about before, which being mechanics on TTS. Thorinthia has the least amount of triggers that you actually have to worry about.
Yeah.
Which makes it actually one of the more streamlined decks to play in a Blitz tournament, which Blitz by nature has the shortest time limit and the tightest window, right, to work within. So Thorinthia and Iroh.
Thorinthia and Iroh have least amount of.
Right. Yeah. So those two decks by design have the least amount of triggers that you have to worry about interacting with your opponent out of turn sequence, like intimidates and so forth and all of these kind of things, or opting and all this stuff. Like, those decks have the least amount of those built into them to have to worry about additional triggers to remember or find ways to deal with on TTS.
And every deck in the game has a go search your deck, but Thorinthia and Iroh only have the one, right? And like you said, no other triggers. So it's just that one thing that slows them down when they have to go maybe search for a card.
Well, I don't think Iroh has any, because they don't have the Lord of Wind Chain.
They don't do the Lord of Wind Chain, right? Exactly.
So I don't think Iroh has any, and I think Thorinthia only has Singing Steel Blade.
Singing Steel Blade, exactly. So outside of that, it's just a very streamlined base play. Iroh is very choreographed, like, you know what's coming. Hey, look, you're gonna ping me, and then I got to block the third one or the second one to stop your mask. Thorinthia is one of those that the poker face on Thorinthia is just it's hard. like I said, we played a game, and you even said it yourself, hey Mike, like after the game, you're like, if you blocked for 9 there, it would have been a phenomenal play. And I told you I would have blocked for 9, but I was only sitting on 8 in hand, so I couldn't have done it. But it's one of those games that like, you get to the point where your opponent, you're forcing your opponent to overblock the poker face, and they're at the end. It does give it a solid edge.
Yeah. So Addison, we know what you're playing. Mike, if you were playing, what would you play?
After last night, if I was going to play in TTS, I would
I wouldn't be doing the podcast tonight. I'd be at home on TTS practicing Kano, and I would be playing Kano. I fell in love with Kano last night. We stayed here till 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Testing Kano, and it was like a light bulb went off in my head. I had been playing that deck for months, and I even put it to the side and started building a boost dash deck for Blitz just because I got tired of Kano. I got tired of losing in Blitz events. And then I was like, we're playtesting. Let me pull out Kano and try this. And everything started clicking. Chris went online and looked, hey, Mike, the Kano decks are running these cards. You're not running them. Why not? He goes, well, I didn't like them. And Chris is like, well, why don't you try it? We're playtesting. So I put him in my deck, and I was like, I don't know what it is, Chris. I changed two cards in my deck, and now it's clicking, it's popping, and here we go. And I'd be running Kano, but I would need so many reps on TTS to be comfortable because the
that's pops. What I'm saying. If you were running tomorrow,
if I was running tomorrow,
what would you run? You went on a 5-minute spiel about your Kano list. What would you run if you were playing tomorrow?
Kano. Because I need the reps.
You'd take it as reps against top players and see what happens.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because the worst case scenario, at least I learn. I still learn. So I'm one of those guys that if I lose, am I upset? Of course I'm upset. I hate losing. But if I'm losing to a player that is a top-ranked player and I'm running a deck that I obviously know I need reps in, even if it's on a different format like TTS instead of real life, and I'm still going to do it so that I get the reps. I even told you Friday night that, hey, I'm going to start running Kano and Construct it just so I get more reps. So I get more reps with the deck.
Yeah.
So, I will take my lickings to get the reps so that I can be one. So that when I get to the point where I can run this deck and people are like, oh, that deck's busted. I'm like, man, dude, I got my ass beat for 6 months straight with this deck.
My ass is busted.
My ass is busted. I've been shitting pancakes for the past 3 weeks. So, I will go through that, and I will go tomorrow. I will still run Kano just because maybe it clicks on TTS all of a sudden. I can figure it out. Maybe not. Most likely no, but I need the rep, so I'll do it.
Right on. Minion, what do you think, man? What would you run if you were running tomorrow?
So first off, I just want to say that at rank 143, I'm not sure I would have gotten the invite.
But we all love you, Minion.
But if I was going tomorrow, and I don't recommend this to anyone, but I would be playing OTK Runeblade because I think that's a very fun deck to play.
I can
it's
see
also
that.
Very good. It's also
hey,
very
Minion, good. I like what you said because it's a very fun deck to play. We're all playing. It's a game, y'all. We're playing a game, and it's still a good deck. Like, I think Ranger and Blitz can crush it. But who plays Ranger and Blitz, right?
Chris.
Right. And but I do want to say that any shade that people may think I just threw there is entirely based on ignorance as to what's good in the Blitz format. So OTK Runeblade might be fantastic in Blitz. I know that it hasn't been brought up here, but the like second place for me would have been the Brute deck that made some waves with the claws.
It's
also good.
I think that's something Todd's looking at.
Yeah, I've been looking at it.
And that's just I am the scrub that doesn't play the decks everyone else is playing. I'm always trying to look for the angle on the outside.
I know. You're the one that plays Mill and Destiny, you bastard.
Yeah, I am. So
and it's another thing. Like, look at the... I'm sorry. I cut you off again, man. I've been drinking a lot. I'll stop.
All good. So I would go for the OTK Runeblade. I think just structurally it has probably better play in Blitz than it does in Classic Constructed just because of the health pools, and you can actually do an OTK if the stars align. So that's what I would play.
It has a really good Ira matchup too, so that would not be a bad choice, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree with that. Yeah, so as of right now, we have less than 24 hours before the tournament. I have not decided what I'm playing yet.
It sounds about right.
Didn't you just pressure somebody into giving a deck choice?
I did.
Okay.
I did. Absolutely.
So, Ty, what are you playing tomorrow?
This is the thing.
So tomorrow I am playing a deck that is yet to be determined.
We did go to Worlds.
I'm going to fucking play.
We did go to Worlds in Destiny, and Todd took three decks, right? It was three decks you took to Destiny Worlds, and it wasn't until the day of that you decided you're playing. Yeah.
That's normally how my decision-making works. I smoke way too much weed to make the snap decisions.
Yeah.
And 24 hours out is just too close. Like, it's just too much of a window for me to play with.
I understand. Because you'll start second guessing yourself.
I will. I'll start to question my ability. You have to be
like, oh, we got to sign up now, submit deck list. All right, I'm playing this.
Yeah.
That's time.
Yes. To be fair, I took more than three decks to Worlds.
I went to Worlds. I took one deck that I've been playing for 8 months straight. So
Mike just commits.
I do. Maybe sometimes too much. But, you know.
So if everything aligned correctly, though, I would absolutely be taking Brute. If I felt okay with my ability to play Brute on TTS, it's not even a question. But because of what happened in the Red Riot tournament, I'm really worried about my ability to play that at a speed in which I can get my games completed. And that worries me. So I probably won't take Brute.
I would look at the format. Like, is this a format where you can submarine back? Like,
submarine is that
you lose round one and you bounce.
I don't care. I don't want a submarine. I want to win out.
We all want to win out.
And so everything being equal, I feel like I could win out with Brute if I had time to make the right decisions and make those plays adequately on TTS. I don't know if I feel comfortable enough with the amount of play that I've had on TTS to do the entire intimidate mechanic. That said, like, I feel comfortable on Ninja and I feel comfortable on Guardian.
You know what you need to do to help you speed up with your intimidate mechanic is just tell, at the beginning of the game, tell your opponent, hey, every time I intimidate, take the card on the right.
Just take the one on the right.
Take the one on the right. I don't care what it is. Take the one on the right.
But then they always just put their fucking defense react on the left, Mike.
Okay. Well, then don't tell them that. Don't tell them that. Just be like, hey.
But you just told me to tell them that.
Okay. Just then you yourself be like, take the card on the right. Next time, take the card on the left. Next time, take the card on the right. Next time, take the card on the left. Just go back and forth. Just tell them.
They'll know if I pick the card on the right next time to take the card on the left. Then
randomize it. Do two rights in a row. Do two lefts in a row. Oh,
you're getting shady with them.
I'm just saying, like, don't roll a die. Don't do any. Hey, shuffle. That's just
no.
Take the card on your right.
I got it.
Pitch it. Take the card on your right again.
You know what? Right two.
Yeah, there you go. That will speed it up. Oh, let me get this die out. Let me roll it. I'm going to roll a D6, and you only got four cards in your hand. Let me roll it again. Damn it, let me roll it again. Don't do that. Hey, card on your left. Drop it.
Yeah, now, I know the flip mechanic now, and I know how that works. So I have a desire to play Brute. I really do.
I say play Brute because you played it last tournament, and all you got to do is just speed up your play, and I think you're going to get there.
Yeah, I do too. So I don't know. I don't know what I'm playing.
In Red Riot, you played. Who was the top tier player you played against?
Which one? The Guardian player?
You ended up drawing against them and knocked.
Yeah, them out. I mean, I drew against everybody for that matter, Mike.
Well, you went undefeated too. honestly, in all your draws, you were in control.
Yeah, well, I feel like it was.
So you just have to speed up the play, which I think you're already there because this will be your second time running Brute in a tournament.
Well, we'll see.
Like I said, like I will run.
So what you're telling me is I'm running Ninja.
What I'm telling you is
Ninja.
Run Brute, dude. I'm serious.
All right, cool. So I'm probably
Ty will be on Ninja.
I'm probably gonna run Addison's Warrior deck.
Addison will be a Warrior, and me and Minion will be looking in with his OTK Rune Blade and my Kano.
Yeah, I don't know. I still don't know what I'm running.
I'm probably gonna sign up next time. Next tournament, I'll sign.
You should absolutely
sign up. I will. And then Addison, I don't want to, but I'm gonna have to have you beat my ass for like a week straight on TTS with Kano.
No problem.
Yep.
Addison has no problem with beating my ass. None. TTS.
He didn't even bat an eye.
I stuttered. He didn't.
Not a bit.
Not a bit. We got there, guys.
I feel like we got there, guys. Does anybody else have anything to add? I mean, I feel like Addison, I'm pulling for you. Out of the two of us in that, you're my horse, man.
So there's two of us from the group in on our podcast that are in it, and then we have a friend of ours, James Chang.
James Chang, yep.
He is in it as well. Is there anyone else that we know that's in it?
So that's the three from our group.
That's the three from our group. So
I just want to say quickly, James Chang ranked 29th in the United States. Isn't
James
it?
Chang.
He's been playing a lot of games.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
And I don't, and you can play as many games, but you gotta win games to get those points.
You still gotta win a game.
So those skirmish events are times six, so he is getting some points.
Congratulations, James Chang. That is awesome. I hope you do well, sir. But I'm still gonna root for Addison because
Well, fuck you too, Mike.
I was going to give you a shout out.
You know what? Boxes now are 95, Mike.
You don't even know what you're playing.
I don't.
So I'm going to give my shout out to Addison. That way, when I play test Addison all next week, I don't feel bad for him beating my ass because he won this.
Okay, fine.
So Addison, if you beat me, boxes will go up to 100.
Oh. Addison, you might want to scoop that game.
You got your pre-orders in, right?
Yeah, my pre-orders are in. That's what I was going to say. My pre-orders are in.
I'm hoping all three of y'all do well, but if I had to put money on one, I'm going to put money on Addison because of his TTS reps. Nothing against you, Ty.
Oh, now you're backing.
No, I'm just saying. You see him
backpedaling now, right, Addison?
I will say this in our draft today, Ty beat me like I owed him money. Do I owe you any money?
Not now.
Okay, but he beat me like I did. Damn. Where's my money, man?
Yeah, no, my money's on Addison as well. Addison's got the most reps. I really like that Warrior deck he's got right now.
Yeah, it is pretty good.
He's got that dialed in pretty well. He's figured out the mechanics on it.
Do you know what James Chang is playing?
No clue, man. James likes to bring the fucking ruckus.
Yeah,
he's a wild card. He might play
Benji. He is a wild card.
Yeah, he might play Benji.
He might play Benji and pops up some crazy stuff off because he's been working on Benji for a while, so.
You know, so who knows?
I hope he does well. But my money is on Addison.
So
and don't let us down, Addison. No pressure.
Hey, just got to get through a bunch of Iris, man.
You got this. That's all. I mean, I'm probably gonna just play it too, Ira. Let's do it.
I know Ninja.
It doesn't have any mechanics to worry about.
It's hard.
It's hard to argue against on TTS for me. So I don't know. I got an Ira. I got a brute. I got a warrior. I just got to get it from Madison.
I will say this. when Nova opens or World starts popping off, y'all beware.
Yeah. All right.
Y'all beware. TTS, you own my ass. Fine, whatever. But when we start doing in-person plays again, y'all beware.
Right on. All right, guys. Well, I think that's going to do it. We're right in an hour. People made it to work. They're sick of hearing us.
Sweet.
So, look, you know what? You know what else I'd like to point out? We did this without Kirkpatrick. So, I'm pretty sure he's fired.
Dang. He doesn't play anymore anyway.
Well, I mean, we don't know if we've done this yet. We think we recorded a podcast.
we'll have to wait till he edits it and see if it comes out.
And then we can fire him.
And then we can fire him.
Man, you're our new editor.
I quit. I'm out.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, one episode he's out.
Oh well. It was good while it lasted, guys.
Man. Good job.
Alright guys. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions, please hit us up on Discord. Hit us up on Facebook and check out our streams on Twitch and YouTube. Thank you for listening and we'll see you next time.
Deuces.
Bitches.